this document really goes into, I think, work that this document, I think, was written in the 90s. It was declassified in 2008. But a lot of it is basically taking some of the techniques that they've developed and then basically explaining how it is that they actually work. And this document, yeah, when I came across it, it goes into so many things that are just so interesting that answer so many questions about what reality is, how reality actually works, and how these techniques actually work, the science behind them. What I think is important that we'll get into is how I think the overall collective human consciousness ultimately dictates their fate. Ultimately, what people believe in the most is what is going to happen.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path to long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below. Well, now you have competing consciousness that is fighting with you. So if you have this positive, you're going in this direction, but somebody else or a group of other people want this, that directly conflicts with what you want, that becomes a little bit more of a challenge, right? And so that's the spiritual warfare that we're talking about, but this is the physics behind how that spiritual warfare really works.
Exactly. In my opinion, quantum physics is simply discovered spirituality and vice versa. Spirituality is just undiscovered quantum physics. As you begin to sort of, awaken, maybe is, I don't know the appropriate word, but as you begin to sort of understand these things and tune yourself and become more self-aware, you do begin to become more empathetic and more in tune with energies in your environment. And you, absolutely, this is sort of the daily battle that you hear amongst empaths that, I'm around all these people and they drain me and, it's very exhausting. But what begins to happen is, again, your frequency attracts like frequency. So your energy field will begin to tune itself to similar energy fields. So ultimately, it kind of weeds those things out. You begin to sort of steer away from the negative energies and the people that aren't beneficial in your life. And this is, you'll hear this commonly with people that sort of go down this path of research. It's, I can't talk to my family members anymore, and I can't talk to my loved one anymore. He doesn't understand. It doesn't make sense. It's unfortunately one of the pitfalls of something like this is you're going to begin to not align with the people that you used to align with.
Well, and it's always like you'll find your people, that comment, you'll find the people like you, and you eventually get to those people, whatever it is. It could be bad, good, whatever. But how exactly. how do we get more people to a positive, happy place? where more people are resonating with something that's good for them and for others.
It's I think there's a couple tactics. I've noticed that, people tend to sort of subconsciously tune themselves to the energy that they are around. Small example, right? Let's say you're at a party and, somebody walks in that just had an awful day and they're just screaming and complaining and blah, blah, blah. You notice that all of a sudden this just negative energy just kind of takes over and it brings people down, and everybody around that person begins to sort of fall down to that person's energy level. Whereas, when somebody walks in and they're the life of the party, hey, all right, let's get this party started, turn up the music, here's the but you know, brought some booze or whatever. Everybody lightens up. Everybody joins that person's frequency. Everybody sort of, you know, all of a sudden the party gets started and everybody comes happier and more positive. In very simple terms, I think, you know, one thing, you know, as you begin to, you know, for your viewers out there, as you begin to understand this stuff and research it for yourself, I take that as a challenge. You know, can you manipulate, not manipulate, but can you affect the emotional energy that is around you? Can you walk into somewhere and raise the vibration of that area just by with what you're putting out there?
Yeah, I coached sports for a long time, and I used to manage the energy. I always say, I'm going to manage the energy. Sometimes I'd go in there and go, oh, we're hosed. I could just feel it. I knew it. And then other times, you know, I'd be like, okay, I can manage this. And you play up. You always play up when you manage the energy. But it's hard to explain, and I didn't talk about it much, only to certain people. But you have to have a strong energy field, right? You have to be a strong person to do that. But you can sometimes, like, if you're in a really hard environment, it really does drain you after a while. So you need more of you. You need more of us trying to make that difference.
Absolutely. And I think sort of the other way of going about, I mean, there is a mass awakening that is beginning to take place. There definitely is people beginning to sort of understand and wake up. And again, there is actually science behind why that is happening. But I think one thing.
Why? What's that science behind why it's happening? What we're talking about, more and more people learning? Or
yeah. So basically, you know, there's what's called Schumann's resonance, which is a frequency that's being emitted by the planet. Up until 2012-ish, it was about 7.83 hertz, steadily around there. And that is also the same energy signature of our brains. And that's why when you go out into nature and, you know, you feel good, you feel better when you're out in the woods, out with, you know, the planet, because your brain is essentially syncing with the planet. Since around 2012-ish, and no, I'm not tying this into the Mayan prediction of the end of the world, that was completely misinterpreted. There has been, the energy signature of the planet has been steadily rising. The Schumann's resonance has been dramatically increasing and dramatically increasing, and it's been causing our brains to sync with that frequency. So the energy of our brains has also been increasing. And by the side effect of something like that happening is essentially your brain is becoming more aware of the spectrum, more aware of the light and audio spectrum. It's gaining capability of perceiving more. It's expanding its capabilities, essentially. And I think this is what's causing people to think more, to question more, to you know, not just take things as they're told, you know, take things for granted. They're beginning to, you know, really starting to use their brains.
I related it back to just because we have more information we didn't have before with the internet and things like that. But you're saying that there's actually vibration that's increased. Why has that increased? Do we know why?
So what the Mayans essentially predicted is that there's this belt, this photon belt, this energy belt in space that we pass through like once every 25,000 years. And that they didn't predict the end of the world. They predicted the end of a world age and the beginning of a new world age, in what they basically essentially predicted we would start to awaken and we would become more enlightened. And it's because we're interacting with this energy belt. So we're going through this very dense energy photon belt, and this energy is passing through us at this moment and interacting with us at a molecular level.
But what happens when we're done going through the energy? I mean, we hose because we go back to that lower frequency?
I'm somebody that is a simulation. I believe in the simulation hypothesis, which is where the universe, that the whole holographic principle was going with in the document. In that, basically, I do think that reality is digital. It is, in a way, a simulation, a cosmic video game, which means that what we see in space is essentially part of that coding of that simulation. And I think that's how all this works. I think that's how entanglement works. You know, when you take two particles and put a million miles in between them, and they're able to still interact with each other instantly, it's because the million miles doesn't exist. I think it's because they're all part of the same programming.
So this spectrum that we're going through, this cosmic field, we were ready for that. We almost created that. But that could be tied back to the internet and all the information that we're getting, and it's all kind of coinciding. Because if we didn't Absolutely. Have that information, we wouldn't have the tools to learn.
Oh, if we didn't have the internet, we would still absolutely, we'd be making no progress whatsoever. So the internet is absolutely a huge part of this awakening. I mean, there's all this information at our fingertips. We've gone past the age of ignorance. We're basically now, we're into the age of information. So ignorance moving forward is now a choice. If you don't want to research something, that
exactly.
is your choice, and it's all there. And I know that, there's this world of fake news, and there's all this, artificial intelligence can create YouTube videos that you can't tell are doctored and write articles, and there's algorithms all over social media pretending to be people. I understand that there's a lot to sort through, but the information's still there. We all have to become, in this age, I think we all have to become our own scientists. We have to be capable of our own research and come to our own conclusions based off what we think, based off of our deductions and our research. And it's at that point where everybody needs to do this themselves.
Well, where can people learn more about you and see what you're doing? Because you're doing such amazing, cool stuff.
Well, it's funny. I got into writing a couple years ago, and I was pumping out a couple articles a week. Since then, every website that I had quite a few websites that were hosting my articles, but they've all been deleted. There's only one website left that has my articles, and they're completely banned from social media. So if you try to post one of my articles on Facebook, for example, you will immediately get a message that says it goes against community standards.
How can that be against community standards? Okay, keep going.
Well, I've obviously written a lot of very controversial articles that have called out a lot of powerful people.
So it's not just about physics. When you wrote those controversial articles, were you tying it to physics, or happened to be what you're writing about now?
No, I write about I write about a variety of things. So whatever kind of comes across my, my palate and I notice that isn't being discussed or isn't being discussed accurately, those are topics I tend to gravitate towards. So for example, the last article I wrote, which was only back in March or April, was about there's a day where Facebook went completely offline for the entire day, along with 100, 150 other companies. And there's this massive sort of power outage that they claimed was happening. And at that same time, New York Times came out with an article saying that, well, now Facebook is now under indictment for illegally sharing information with 150 tech companies, the same tech companies that were all offline that day. So all the companies that were being named in this indictment were the same companies that were all offline for the entire day. So that's when I delved into it and found out that Facebook really is just a DARPA project known as LifeLog. So I wrote about how Facebook really isn't what you think it is. And that was one of the articles that definitely, I think that's what pretty much got me banned from Facebook.
Which makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I resonate with you looking, doing all sorts of things that are interesting. So where can people get you directly then? I mean, so social media, you're not going to find it. Well, you're going to find it on this YouTube channel for now, as long as I can stay up. But I know you have a direct website and things.
Well, so the website that has my articles now, and I don't know how much longer it's going to be up for, honestly, because it's getting, it is under attack. It's PERC, PERC360.com. But in the next week or two, I'm good friends with, I think you've had him on a couple of times, Kent Lewis, who's building a new social media platform. He calls it freedom.social, and he's working on getting a blog section up and running. So as soon as that is finished, I will be uploading every article I've ever written onto that blog section. And then I don't think I have to worry so much about, these things getting deleted, because they do. Even the articles that are still published, when I go through them, I notice that pictures and videos, things just disappear out of the article. I don't know how that happens, but
well, how about Bright On? How about Bright On or BitChute or Library. Well, I don't have any. I think some of those
things. I've gotten banned from Medium. I was on Medium, and they banned me for violating their community standards. So there's.
But you're written documents, so you're not video. So those videos, those are video platforms. So.
Right, I'm not really doing videos. Mostly written documents. However, Kent Lewis and I have been discussing getting a podcast up and running. So that is something that we're looking to do very soon. He is developing a studio. So freedom.social will, in the next week or two, once he gets his blog section up and running, will have my articles. But what I've kind of done over the last couple of months is I've decided to kind of take a break from writing articles because of how much I get hacked and or attacked. And I'm working on a book. And I think that this is it's a science fiction book. It's going to be a way for me to express sort of every theory that I have about what reality is and how it works in a fictional terms. And that is something that I'm very close to finishing. It's not going to be one book. It's definitely going to be more than one, but I'm very close to finishing the first one.
So is it a fiction book that helps explain the nonfiction aspects of life? So it's just a easier way to understand and bring it together. That makes
absolutely
sense.
It's going to tie in a lot of different crazy theories. Not crazy. I don't know if that's the right word. It's out there, dark things that are happening in our reality, dark theories. It's based on my theory that this reality is a digital simulation, but it takes it a step further and goes with the concept that the God that has everybody convinced is God is actually artificial intelligence. So that basically the mind of the matrix already is a sentient form of artificial intelligence that was created by us several hundred thousand years ago. And this reality, this digital reality we live in is its product. I'm not saying that that's what God is. I'm saying that there is a God that has everybody convinced is God, but it's not the God, it's just a God.
So are we an avatar? Is there a real life beyond this avatar?
Well, I absolutely believe that we have a fragment of consciousness. I don't know if it's necessarily located within the human body. It could be utilizing entanglement and communicating from somewhere else. But there is some form of energy that makes us that's separate from this physical body. And that when the physical body dies, absolutely, I do think that we are essentially playing a giant cosmic video game. And that we have the option when we disconnect to, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about what happens. You know, either this could be, a lot of people think that we're in some kind of prison matrix, that our souls are just being recycled and reincarnated and we don't have a choice. But on the other hand, I kind of think this might be more like an academy, like something we chose, a virtual reality stuck in linear time in which we're here to experience and understand emotion, specifically fear. Because by understanding fear, we learn to understand compassion, love, and empathy.
Well, Roberta Grimes has that theory that this is an academy. You come here, they get you ready, and then this isn't the real world. This is where you go to raise your vibration and become more loving. And I mean, I don't know, but that's what she believes in. She's very into Jesus, very not Christian based, I guess, but not in the way the Bible says, but very thinks Jesus is the is a entity like us, but is at a whole nother level. I mean, like reach the very highest levels of abilities.
Well, I have my theories on Jesus. I don't take the Bible's word of what Jesus, who he was. I do believe that there could have been a person that basically rebelled against the banking system of his time and attempted to lead a revolution and then was killed. And then his image twisted into something that they can control. I do think that this person could have possibly activated dormant strands of DNA, which gave him abilities that seem godlike. I do think that there's a person like this, absolutely, that could have by now ascended past third dimension and could be, you know, moving up the chain of the multiverse. Sure. Do I think that there is a person named Jesus Christ that lived 2,000 years ago and did the things the Bible said that he did? No. But I do think that they got that information from somewhere and they based it off of something. The story of Jesus itself is more of an allegory of the movement of the sun. It's more of symbolic of, I think, of our own evolution. You've heard of the term, I don't know if you've heard of the term Christ consciousness. I do think that that story is meant to sort of get us to understand that we are all capable of doing what this person did. We are all capable of ascending and awakening our consciousness and taking control of our realities, much like what this person did. It's all there for us to do. Jesus was more of sort of like a map, I guess would be a better word, to not somebody that I think should be prayed to. I am very against anything that tells me that I need to pray to something or devote my emotional energy into something, because to me, that smells of vampirism. If anything out there needs you to pray to it, needs you to devote your energy to feed it, then that I don't believe in. I think that we are all our fragments of consciousness. I think that, you know, we are all sort of gods in a sense.
So do you think that when people have power and they're getting all those accolades and they're almost being, people are almost worshiping people with more power. Do you think that's why people are so addicted to that? Because they get that energy from people?
Absolutely.
You know, the fame and the power or whatever.
A lot of unfortunately, our society's become very inverted, and it's by design. It's done on purpose. We live in a very fear-based society. The world itself is like a giant fear-based battery. And a lot of people out there, you know, we're just not given the knowledge. We just don't understand. It's just, people out there, we're very miserable. A lot of people are dealing with stress and dealing with anxiety, and, you know, we're just getting all these bills piling up on us, and we're not making as much money, and, you know, everybody's in debt, and it's hard to, you know, go out there and be super happy and positive and generate your own energy when you have all these obstacles that just continuously pile up on you. So I understand that. Understand one thing, that this is all by design. This is on purpose. You know, the people at the top that are, you know, pulling the strings, they're doing this on purpose because they feed off of fear. That's their food. And so they want us to be afraid. But maybe, again, that's...
Do you think they know? Or do you think it's just, it gives them that high? Like, you would, when you're in power, you get a high, kind of. Or if you're popular, you get a high. Is that the high they're getting? Or are they consciously doing it?
That sort of goes into something that, again, I don't think that the people at the top are 100% human. What I do know for a fact is that there's another declassified CIA project called MKUltra, and a lot of people are very familiar with it. It's essentially where they take children between the ages of 0 and 6, which is known as the programmable state, and they turn them into agents, into various types of slave agents that will conduct the agenda of the intelligence agencies. The families that sit at the top, when a new family member is born, they are all subjected to a type of MKUltra, every single one of them. And during that MKUltra process, there is something called Project Monarch, which goes into how demonic entities can be inserted into the consciousness or into the human body to take control of that human body. And again, you know, if we had talked about this at the beginning of this interview, that would sound absolutely crazy. But now we're sort of at a point where, well, this reality could be digital, could be a simulation, it's holographic. So something like that might actually make sense. And don't think of it in terms of a demon. Think of it more like a virus. I think it's more like a cosmic virus that has infiltrated this reality, is inserted into the humans that sort of rule at the top. So these people at the top, you hear about these horrific human trafficking rings and these occultic circles and the things that they do and all these crazy rituals and, you know, spirit cooking and things like that. Well, it makes sense if they're not human. There's actually some kind of virus in there that actually feeds off of this. That makes more sense. That's probably how they're able to do this without having a care in the world, without actually...
Humans wouldn't do that to their own young. Not naturally.
No, not...
It's just not. I refuse to accept that because I just don't think a normal human being. Animals reject those. They get them right away. I mean, they kill the other animal that would hurt their young. I would think we as humans would naturally do that too. So for there to be groups of people doing that, it's just, I refuse to accept that that's just a normal human behavior. There's something wrong.
Yeah. And I think that basically in simple terms, there's a virus that's infected our species and it sits at the top and they feed off of fear-based emotion. That's their food. And I think that's why the world is the way it is. I do also kind of think that it's, again, possibly this way on purpose. Because this could be a game in which we're here to see if we can beat it, if we can understand fear and get through it and come out really understanding love and compassion. Maybe these archonic demonic entities are in fact NPCs. Maybe they're designed to be this way on purpose. Maybe they are not as, you know, I like to think of them as algorithms. You know, if this reality is digital, if we're in a simulation, then these are simply algorithms. These are software programs. Maybe that's how they're coded.
You mean they're complete assholes to help us become better people? And if we don't beat them, I mean, we have to beat them to become better people?
Possibly. What I find interesting is that I do know that these things have been sort of in control for a long, long time, way longer than I think we understand. And yet there still seem to be so many clues left out there to figure this stuff out. It's still there. If the game was impossible to beat, then nobody would want to play it. But if it's challenging enough and still beatable, then I think people would be very interested in playing it. And I think essentially that could be what this reality actually is, a very challenging human video game.
Okay. Although it's not fun to try to beat human traffickers, it's or to beat this craziness, it's the challenge in understanding fear and learn and developing love through the process. Well, that does resonate with what other people are saying. Okay, so where can they get your stuff again?
Like I said, it definitely will be up on freedom.social. I'm also active there, so you can find me on freedom.social. It is still on that website, perc360.com, although I don't know for how much longer. I am on Facebook. I just can't really, you know, I'm active there. I haven't been completely blocked. Very censored as far as what I can say. But you can find me there. And the book I'm just about finished with, probably in the next couple of months, will be something that I will be advertising on social media as well once it's ready. It's based on everything that I basically just talked about, this whole giant video game. And
excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, will you stay after for my Patreons?
Absolutely.